Ah.
Jeff, what's wrong with your face?
It doesn't know what to do.
What's up, Who Dat Nation?
What's up, Who Dat Nation? And thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Battlefront. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero, but you are listening to the Dome Patrol Holiday Special Mandalorian episode, the much anticipated. Everyone's excited to talk about it. If here's the spoiler thing, whatever, warning statement. If you have not watched the entire season two of The Mandalorian, you should probably hit stop.
Kill yourself.
Go watch and then come back to listen, because we are about to reveal the greatest reveal in all of Disney Plus, maybe Star Wars lore. I don't know. We'll find out, but let's see who we have on the show to discuss it with us today. Jason, welcome to the show. How you doing? I'm not going to ask your number because I know it's zero.
It's definitely a zero. No, I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about the season of The Mandalorian, which I thought was spectacular. And considering all the pressure heaped upon it, you're not going to find many complaints from anybody about it. So, yeah, and we had kind of briefly touched about possibly doing a Mandalorian segments during the season itself. Mm-hmm. It would have been easier if this was an off season. If it came on during the off season, maybe we'll do that for some of the Marvel shows. But yeah, feeling good.
All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am also a zero. I didn't know if that was a Darth Vader impression you were doing, or if you were taking a dump. Wasn't sure.
It was Vader taking a dump.
There you go. but yes, I'm doing good. Very excited to discuss The Mandalorian, and excited to kind of maybe talk about what we think might happen in the new series, the new Boba Fett series, and what might happen in season three of Mandalorian. So,
all right. And Ben, welcome to the show. What is your number? Do you actually have a number? Because it's 6 o'clock at your time.
No, I don't. I literally walked in from work about an hour ago. So, not Premier League, but football tonight. I'm ready to get myself strapped in for another Arsenal defeat. And so this is going to be a bit of comforting. And yeah, just this is it for me. This is my highlight of my night, because it's only going to go downhill from here.
Arsenal is going to go the way of the stormtroopers, of the dark stormtroopers.
No, because they actually had a bit of swag about them and were cool.
Oh.
These Arsenal players are a bunch of fucking idiots.
All right, well, let's get into it. So the way we're going to do this, because we, like Jason said, we've been talking about doing a Mandalorian segment each time we didn't. So this is going to be a full Mandalorian episode where you can talk about the whole season. Scott, I get the sense that you might want to build up to the big reveal. So let's start with kind of the first few episodes of the season, because it is kind of all running together for me. But the season did pick up where season two left off, right?
Did it? Yeah.
I mean, season one. Yeah. Season one left off. Usually that's how things work. But it wasn't like a 7-year gap or anything like that. It was like a...
No. But it's crazy, because it's like thinking back, it's like you're trying to remember what the episodes were. But the first episode, there was the initial big fake of a guy in Boba Fett's armor who wasn't Boba Fett. It was our favorite marshal, Timothy Oliphant.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, from
right. It seems so long ago.
That's why I wanted to talk about other episodes, because they had a lot of stuff at the beginning of the season that you probably forgot about.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, don't you remember the big sandworms?
Yeah. That was the season premiere too.
Yeah.
That was a good episode. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And wasn't John Leguizamo in that episode as well?
He was in the very beginning.
Yeah.
So you forget about it, right?
So that was the one where he negotiated peace in a sense, right? Or the, you know, the common enemy they had to go fight. And it was like the big monster of the season. Because remember season one, they had the big monster in the cave. This was the big monster in the cave.
Yeah, I was a little worried. It was a great episode, but I was a little bit worried. Are we going down the same sort of route here? Just another monster. Here we go. Okay, yeah. When are we going to get into finding the Jedi and stuff like that? But one thing I really liked about it. Exactly. One thing I really liked about it was the fact they're going into a bit more of the Tusken Raiders, because you see them in either films, but they're iconic, cool characters. But they're never really a focal point. So I'm quite glad we had like an episode with them.
The fact that our boy Armando actually understood them and could communicate with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of in that end of that episode that we found out that Boba Fett may still be alive, because he showed up at the end, you know,
standing looking over it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, see, when that happened, yeah. Right. I was really hoping it was Captain Rex, one of the clones. Because I really didn't want to see Boba Fett alive. Like, he died, he's dead to me. Like, I don't want to. That sounded bad, but
like changing canon.
I don't like resurrecting characters that are. Everybody's like, yeah, he's dead.
A bit like Mace Windu.
Yeah, but it's okay that the way they did it. I mean, they didn't explain it, but
yeah, but it's like seeing how they integrated him, I guess it was worth it. But at the time, I really wanted it to be Captain Rex.
Right, like it didn't need to be Bubba for you.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, then episode two, the passenger Mandalorian takes Frog Lady, from Tatooine, right? So that her husband can fertilize the eggs, which apparently are Baby Yoda's favorite delicacy. I kept thinking every time he ate one, like he's turning her into an enemy. Like, she's gonna like, I will murder you for eating my babies. But she was really patient and like, no, that's fine. I can make more.
that was the weakest episode of the filler one. That was, wasn't it? Really?
Well. What else happened? What happened beside the main story, though? That
there was no.
You saw You saw. I suppose it go into the other series. You saw like the X-wing and the rebels. So
yeah,
Guardians of the New Republic. Is it Guardians of the New Republic? The new series coming out. Oh.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
Introducing a little bit of that, maybe.
Maybe.
And also, they needed to establish the Frog Lady as a trustworthy babysitter for the next episode, because remember, he had to leave Baby Yoda Grogu with her and her husband in the next episode while he went go run off with Katie Bo-Katan. Sackhoff. Yeah.
Bo-Katan. Yeah.
Get it right, Jeff.
Bo-Katan.
Yeah.
That episode was the one that started the series.
That was probably one of the better ones for sure.
That episode was amazing.
Yeah, especially the second you saw her, right? You're just like, oh shit, they're really doing it.
Oh, when Ahsoka?
No.
This is still Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan, yeah.
Oh. Your girl, Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah,
Katie Sackhoff.
So people that watch Rebels and Clone Wars will understand that reference. I've got friends who haven't watched Clone Wars and stuff like that. Like,
I never did.
Yeah, see,
you'd be cooler if you did.
Yeah, you need to start. I didn't either, but
I still got the gist of that she was an important character.
Yeah. I mean, they got Katie Sackhoff to play her, of course.
Right, but you don't have the history. You don't have the history behind it.
What's the history?
Especially with the Darksaber.
The Darksaber, exactly. So you need to go back and watch that.
Here's 4 or 5 episodes to watch, Jason. Was that the 4 or 5 episodes you said? Like, if you don't watch
it, it was a few more, but yes, I sent you that. Yes, I sent you that list.
I think Disney Plus is actually, they've broke it down like the clone episodes you want to watch. There's a section like episodes you want to watch when watching The Mandalorian, like before Mandalorian. So they've actually like done it. So there's like a list of like 8 or 9 episodes. Well, Clone Wars.
But you talk about the Darksaber, like was it a surprise to y'all about the Darksaber in the last episode where he was like, you have to defeat me. Whoever defeats me gets, you know, is the heir to Mandalore. I didn't know all that.
There is some to that. Like when the Darksaber first showed up, yes, it had to be won in battle. But the last that we saw of it, Sabine from Rebels, she just gave it to Bo-Katan. They didn't they didn't have to fight. She just gave it to her. So it was kind of like a slight recon.
Yeah. But it's kind of like a plot hole kind of thing there.
Kind of.
So, or a change.
Yeah. I'm on Disney Plus now. If you scroll down, it's got Ahsoka Tano essential episodes. And basically, it goes, obviously, she was involved heavily in The Mandalorian. So it's watching. It's worth watching those essential episodes. There's quite a few, to be fair, and
on episode 3, just to see the start of introducing a character from animation to live action for the first time was great, and obviously we'd get that again later, but the excitement there was a lot of fun.
And didn't she voice Bo-Katan in in the cartoon?
Oh, so
that's
really
pretty cool too,
right? Yeah. See, yeah. Oh, now Jeff's gonna go watch
now
it.
I'm going to watch it. He's in. Yeah, you got that Katie Sackhoff poster on my wall, you know.
Did you sack off to it?
Gun sacks off to Sasha Banks. We know that. He does. His favorite character.
Is that what you scream when you finish? Oh my god,
it's a Boca Boner.
Right, yeah, so you had them breaking into the ship, and our favorite that guy Titus Welliver played the Imperial guy. He was the Man in Black from Lost, and he's been on a lot of other shit, but interesting that he killed himself before letting the ship get taken.
Yeah, well, I thought he killed himself because he was being interrogated about the Dark Saber, right?
That too. But I guess the idea of not getting captured and not forced to giving up information, I guess.
Right.
So there's still a remnant of the old empire that's holding strong to their beliefs.
So this is something, and maybe we'll get into it as we go further on as well, especially that I picked up from the final episode of the season, that I think part of the allure and the love that the fans are having with The Mandalorian is it really does harken back to that original trilogy. It feels more like the original Star Wars universe and trilogy than any of the prequels, any of the sequels. You know what I mean? Like it's old. It is the empire. It's got that whole like World War II Nazi feeling without being too far of it. Like I don't know. Like Force Awakens also had a little bit of that, but this is definitely that old. Like it's Darth Vader's empire still.
Well, and that's what made Rogue One so special. I think that's still why a lot of us like Rogue One so much, is because it's that time period.
It's a story you can get on board with.
Well, and it's so much with so little, right? It's low budget. But it doesn't feel low budget either. You know, they're able to make it grand with so little.
Going back to series one, even you have the flashback of the Clone Wars with Mando, and the way the droids looked in those flashbacks from series one just looked incredible and just so much better than what they did in the prequels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just doing it well. They're doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
moving on.
That end of the episode, they obviously mentioned Ahsoka Tano, and everyone, I think every Clone Wars fan and Rebels fan just, yeah.
Yeah, we lost our shit. We sacked off.
All right, so then the next episode, we go back to see Carl Weathers.
Mando!
Heads back home, and the little repair guys end up becoming, they were paid off by by Gideon, right? Or at least Gideon's people. Mm-hmm. But what was this one? This is
when they found that facility, the Empire facility, where they found the hologram of the cloning doctor, and they found those test tubes. It looked like they were trying to do a little bit of cloning.
Okay. Yeah. Was that also kind of like alluding to what their plans for the child?
It seems to be, and possibly connecting, you know, that's the one thing where they could be connecting to the Palpatine clones and the Snoke and that whole cloning issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look like the dark troopers were kind of
I think there was something there, wasn't there? But that episode had one of my favorite actions for Star Wars, that little chase when they're getting chased by the TIE fighters, was just a brilliant scene, and the speeders as they were coming down the rocks. Lando turning up in the ship, and just that's just Like Dave Filoni, just he's just absolutely smashed it out of the park.
Yeah,
he is the Star Wars, what J.J. Abrams was and Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah, it, yeah. Filoni and Favreau, but Carl Weathers actually directed that episode.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And I remember it being a really enjoyable episode too.
Well, and our green friend Horatio Sands came back.
Yeah. Oh, was that the one where he was all like nervous the whole time? Yeah. Oh, that's right. He was head of an apartment. Yeah.
And of course, my favorite Gina Carano is in that episode as well. That's Cara D.
Seemed to be a possible backdoor pilot for her series, which I'm not sure that she can carry a series on her own. You know,
it would have to be more like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type. She reminds me of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type female.
Yeah.
Like she could redo all of Schwarzenegger's early movies, like Commando, with the female lead.
I mean, I guess I'm not as
imagine that.
I'm not just interested in her character. Like, yeah, her character's fine, but if she's the main protagonist, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, she's just muscle.
I mean,
I think Nina, the actress, could carry movies. If she, I don't know though, maybe not. But I don't
know. I don't know.
I haven't seen her acting range yet. But Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't a good actor either.
Oh, good point.
You just got to be muscly and hold a big gun and go.
And Gina, if you're listening, I love you. Call me.
Oh, Scott's got a poster of Gina on his wall.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
What's her character's name?
Cara Dune.
Cara Dune. That's what you do.
Such a I'd like to Cara her Dune.
Okay.
All
so
right.
So the next episode. The next episode is where you finally see
Jedi.
The Jedi makes her appearance. Amazing character introduction. I mean, aside from the little sneaky look that she gave them whenever they were on the other planet, but the way she comes in and out of the mist, you don't remember
that wasn't her.
It wasn't
that
her.
That was Sasha Banks.
No.
What?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Go on. That was Sasha. Come on.
It wasn't Sasha.
That
was, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No.
They all look alike to Jeff. So all the Jedi look alike to Jeff.
Except from Sasha Banks.
They wear their hood and their lightsabers. So Ahsoka reveal comes in and out of the mist. She's got the dual white sabers and she's just insanely awesome. Like that whole scene was incredible. Like that was movie quality right there. That was big screen movie quality.
And it was great that they didn't waste any time getting to her. They're like, oh, here she is.
Yeah.
Like, you see her right away.
Because I was thinking, obviously you heard Ahsoka the two episodes before and you're thinking, you're waiting for the next episode thinking, oh shit, this is going to be it. And then they obviously went on the other path with that last episode, but they finally got around to it and they didn't want to keep us waiting any longer and yeah, got straight to it. And that was, the little fight scene between her and Mando as well was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It really shows the power of Veskar armor, didn't it, for the first time?
Yeah, big time. He's like, no, wait, Bo-Katan sent me.
You just said that at the start, Mando.
Now she could carry her own show. Or is she getting her own show?
She will.
She is getting her own show.
I thought the casting of her was done well. Like,
yeah.
I love the animation at Ahsoka and you're used to the voice, but yeah, it works.
Yeah, she tended to have the right mannerisms.
Yeah.
For, you know, but yeah, like you said, you know, getting past the whole voice thing, which is just impossible because I think her voice actresses just could not have done the part. I mean, there's kind of no way around it, but
that must suck being the voice actress knowing how much of a fan base you've created. As soon as you get your own show, that's it, you're out.
And again, just another level of excitement when you see a character you've seen so long in a different medium pop up here in a show this great.
That's the thing you're going to remember about this series is all the pop-ups. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's one of the things about this season. It's like it did so well. It had to keep Mando and Grogu still as your central two, but it also introduced all these other expanded universe characters.
But yeah, I was about to say we haven't even talked about Mando at all. We've been talking about all these other characters.
Yeah, I mean, really, I guess
talked about him.
That's what this season. Right, it was Mandalorian introduced, and now say hello to my new guest. Bo-Katan.
But that's the episode as well that you find out that Baby Yoda is called Grogu as well.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, that's right. That's where we learned his name.
Just before Christmas, as Scott pointed out, with Disney's marketing team there.
Right when Christmas shopping season started.
Yeah, clever.
how do we feel about the name Grogu?
I mean, it's fine. I mean, Baby Yoda wasn't a real name anyway.
Yeah. No,
the child. It was called the child, wasn't it?
Right. The child. Yoda. Everybody called him Baby. I think everybody Grogu. Still calls him Baby Yoda.
Of course, yeah. I'm going to call him. Well, Grogu.
We have for the last five episodes, as we're recapping, we called him Baby Yoda the whole time. But maybe that's because we were waiting till we learned the name.
That's right. That's right.
Leading up to it.
Yeah, but just incredibly shot. The episode ends on the pair of duels, against the Beskar. Ahsoka against the Beskar staff.
Mm-hmm.
Spear
staff.
Yeah, and then he, Mando gets the spear, which kind of helps him out later.
Yeah,
well, you knew that was going to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny. I was expecting him to melt that spear down, just like he melts everything else down. But
I kind of was thinking about that too, if he was going to do that or not.
No. Going to make a Beskar dildo.
Oh my god!
Welcome next guest, Sasha Banks.
to sack off to.
Some would say that's his fetish.
Is Bobo fetish?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, now you got it. Took you a while, Jeff.
The show's deteriorating.
Right. So, I guess the big thing is that Ahsoka decided not to want to train Grogu.
Right.
She's not a Jedi.
Well, she is. Ahsoka.
No, yes, she is.
No, she's not.
Watch the Clone Wars.
Right, you gotta watch the Clone Wars.
Well, she didn't give that as a reason not to train him, though.
Right, the reason was she didn't want him to turn out like Anakin and turn to the dark side because he's got too strong of an emotional attachment to the Mandalorian.
Well, she helped train Ezra a bit.
A bit, yeah.
So, do you need to go back and watch these two amateurs, Jason? What are we dealing with?
I mean, right? We try to tell them, they just don't want to listen.
We're like the child. We're like Grogu.
I'll get there. Yes. We don't want to listen. We want
play
to
with your
eggs.
Silver ball.
All you want to do is play with balls.
Uh-huh. I want to come back to that silver ball later on. But go ahead.
Yeah, you do.
So then Ahsoka points them to, you need to go to this planet and do this. I'm like, okay, all
right. Right. Then you're starting to wonder, like, okay, so is this whole entire series going to be a constant search? It's just them two constantly going from one quest to the next, right? But
yeah, it's trying to find a Jedi. We
just when you think you've got it figured out.
Yeah.
So the next episode
is the tragedy where he takes him to the ancient temple. This is the one that which is great because they didn't waste time, right? You thought, okay, now we're gonna have six episodes for him to find Tython, is the name of the planet, I guess.
Yeah,
so
but he went there straight away.
Yeah, he puts him on the thing, waiting for something to happen. He goes down and Grogu starts doing his thing, meditates, the light. That's when you run into Boba Fett and May. What's her name? The actress,
Ming-Na Wen.
Ming-Na Wen, from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was fantastic to see her. We thought she was dead, and seeing her back alive, and now that she's like legit, like on the show, right?
Classic Star Wars. You thought they were dead, and now they're back.
So I'm a big fan of hers. So I think that was awesome to be able to see her. Clearly is going to be a part of the Book of Boba Fett as well.
Yeah. The way they introduced Boba Fett as well, I thought was brilliant. You saw the ship. Well, first of all, you saw his armor in episode one, and then you thought you saw him with the cloak on, and you're a bit like, yeah, but by the time you've got to this stage, you've kind of forgotten about all of that. It's in the past and you're focusing on this Jedi. And then suddenly, yeah, you just see the ship. As soon as you see the ship come in, you straight away.
You're just like, holy ship.
Yeah. And then, Jesus. And then, the battle starts. He goes and gets the armor, and they, they're kind of cornered. And all of a sudden, he just shows up. And he's just looking badass and starts kicking ass. And then he had that, I think Jason and I had talked, he had that thing on his knee where he bent his knee and that thing shot out of his knee, and I was like, oh fuck, man. it was just, it was awesome to see him in action with his, when he got his armor on and everything.
Like in 15 minutes, he did more badass shit here than he had done in his previous Star Wars history.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Dude, his weapon, that staff thing with the little hook on the end of it that he was just.
The weed whacker?
Yeah, yeah. That's probably what they use, the props, you know.
It looked like it. Yeah.
I mean, that was just, he was cracking skulls with it. I mean, that was, I want that weapon in the video game. You know what I mean? Like, that was insane. And then I when he bent over and shot the runaway ships.
A rocket.
And yeah. blew one of them up. And they were like, wow.
I meant to hit the other one.
Like, no, don't aim that. No, that takes away from the legend of Boba Fett. He's not perfect. And Mando lost his ship in the process, which I guess that is the way that you create the two of them as travel companions, right?
Yeah, that was so devastating to watch his ship get destroyed because it had just got repaired.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing we didn't talk about. Like, it took a beating this season on the snow planet. Then it got put together with octopuses and fishnets.
Mm-hmm.
Octopi. Yeah, or I was about to say octopuses, but, you know.
And it got attacked by all the spiders.
Right.
You know.
Right. So like it finally got restored and you're like, okay, now we're going. And it's really become an iconic ship kind of in the Star Wars legacy. And now it's gone.
Right. Yeah.
And the only thing to survive was the Veskar spear.
What was the, yeah.
And
what
the ball.
Grogu's ball. What was the picture we sent that had a picture of the ship and then something else that it pretty much looks, Lone Star's ship.
Yeah, it looks like Lone Star's ship. Right. Yes, it definitely does. And you know, at the end of that episode, Grogu, you know, we see the dark troopers for the first time, the dark stormtroopers, and Grogu gets taken at the end.
Sad, sad day.
Mm, but you were still so excited after Boba Fett's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the episode you saw him?
There's a lot of mixed emotions
with the the detonators. Was that episode or was it the episode after, wasn't it, I think?
No, yeah, there's an episode after.
That's the one where they went to get the coordinates for Gideon's ship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So real quick though, before we get to that one, I will also add like that, if you think about that entire episode, the tragedy, all of it took place right there on that
little rock.
On that mountain, on that rock. Yeah. The entire episode was one battle pretty much. Well, it was
That was the second best setting.
Yeah.
That's the second best episode of the series.
Yeah. Me. That was the stormtroopers coming out like a clown car. Remember, just kept pouring out. But it was great because, like, that's the beauty of Star Wars. Like, if you just need to kill a bunch of people, you just, like, just throw a million stormtroopers.
Yeah, just give them some stormtroopers.
Which brings up the question Dave asked in one of our chats about the armor. Like, okay, so let's talk about this for a minute. Stormtroopers' armor. They invest all this money. What is it? Plastic? I mean, one shot from a laser, and it could even be in like the shin, and the guy's dead. He dies. So why wear the armor? You could take all the money that they spend on the armor and build another Star Destroyer out of it or something. I mean, just is it really they care just that much about looking alike?
The Emperor must have a financial stake in the armor producing company. That's
it. He must own he owns the company. that gets the contract for building the plastic. You know,
probably armor. Back in the day, it was probably like a smart way to put a bunch of people in the movie without having to pay him. You know, they could just be listed as extras because you couldn't see their face. You know, you didn't have to give them credit in the.
No, but we're not talking about the making of the movie, Scott. We're talking about in like the actual.
The universe.
The actual real. Universe. Right. It's real. Like, why?
Now, like I said, I thought I had read somewhere that standard, like, Imperial blasters don't penetrate it, but apparently Rebel blasters are modified or. I don't know. Maybe kind of like Hollow
that would make sense, kind of but thing. That would also suggest that every person who shoots at a stormtrooper is using this specially modified blaster type.
I mean, look, I don't know what to tell you.
It's just funny.
One of those things.
Stormtroopers, the worst soldiers in. I mean, they're worse than the red shirts in Star Trek.
Yes.
All right. So let's move on right to the next episode. Yeah, from this point, these last three episodes were an amazing movie. Again, going back to that movie quality.
No, I think ever since The one where you
actually the Jedi, the last
Ahsoka,
four.
Yeah.
Even the one
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the last five, the whole season two.
The whole season was like a really
long. I think as soon as you get past episode two, like episode one was great, and see episode two is meh. And then as soon as you get past it, like
yeah.
I reckon if I binged that, I wouldn't be able to put it down from episode three onwards.
I think part of it is too, is like it's a 30-minute episode, 38-minute episodes or whatever. Is perfect because you can crunch a whole lot in there, but it doesn't also have to drag out.
That's part of me really wishes they were longer, but yeah, they're doing perfect what they're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so this next episode, The Believer. Now, I don't know, why do they call it The Believer? Like every other one, the title made sense, but I didn't see this one being The Believer.
Maybe because Bill Burr believes in the cause.
Yeah. Oh, maybe
he's not just a rebel for hire.
Yeah.
That's okay. Kind of a rebel for Harris
character.
Now, did you see the rumors in this episode that you saw what's his name controlling one of the ships of the pirates? Poe.
I didn't delve any deeper into it. I saw a story about it, but I don't know. That seems like wishful thinking.
Because that's what he used to do, didn't he? He used to do spice runs and stuff like that, didn't he? Before he joined the resistance.
I guess, but wouldn't he be like 13 at this point?
Good point. I suppose you've been a bit younger. Because this is set, how many years after Return of the Jedi is this set?
Five. So there's still another, 20 years at least until Force Awakens?
Yeah.
So, I didn't put any stock into that.
So at this point, has Rey been born? Rey and Ben been born, you think?
Round about this time.
Probably, yeah. That sounds about right. I think Ben probably for sure.
Yeah, because Luke takes Grogu to train him. I guess he can start like a whole school and train a bunch at the same time, right?
Well, we're skipping ahead, Jeff.
All right.
Stick to the order.
So, they are, the Mandalorian is dressed up as a, I don't say stormtrooper, but, an Imperial. And they're in costume. So he gets up there. I have to think that the pirates are like, what? How is this guy so good? None of them are this good. But that was a nice little, again, going back, I've always likened this whole series to this is a Western, right? It's a space Western. It's got Western feelings to it. Here's the runaway train episode, right? It wasn't an actual train, but this is a runaway train. You got people riding in on the horses and boarding the train. You got to kick them off. It was that kind of a thing. And it was spectacular.
The shot of the TIE fighter at the end as they get into the base was just...
Right? And you're actually cheering for the TIE fighters to help out.
Yeah.
They come in to save the day.
I thought Bill Burr was good in this episode too.
Absolutely.
I thought he did a really good job. And then, when they went to the base, Mando had to take his helmet off to get verification on that machine or whatever. And then the guy, the general guy that Bill Burr ended up shooting, that was
I recognized Mr. him. Anderson.
He was from Game of Thrones. No, he was from Game of Thrones. He was the...
It reminded me of the agent from...
He played the Night King.
The Night King. He played the Night King.
Oh.
Game of Thrones.
He definitely looked like a weaselly, greasy guy.
Yeah. Right? The way he talked, it was so weird. Kind of off-putting. The way he's kind of interrogating them up front and then does the whole switch. Well, let's have a drink or something. It's like, I don't know. That was a little, I wouldn't have directed it or acted it that way. I get what they were trying to do for us. Like we were nervous that they were about to get caught and then they had the comfort thing. And I don't know. It
kind of reminded me of the guy from Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Been too long for
a little bit.
Seen that.
The what's his name? I can't even think of the actor's name. He was in Django. Y'all know who I'm talking about.
I'm already talking about it. I'm shit at actors' names.
He was like the Nazi guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got nothing. Anyway. I can't derail it. Can't derail it.
Them escaping that was, once again, great action scenes. It's just, And then obviously you see Boba Fett. I forgot what's his ship called again? It's called
something one. Slave One, I think.
Slave One, yeah. Like seeing the noise the engine makes of that, of Slave One, is just, it just goosebumps.
That ship still throws me for a loop every time I watch it, because I'm like, it doesn't look like it's, I don't know, the way it flies, like it goes.
Well, they did show you when they were in it how it actually like rotates.
Yeah,
they showed the rotating gears when it shifts. Yeah, because it is kind of weird.
And then dropping the old mines out of the back.
Sonic boom, man.
Good.
Like literally one of the only good things about Attack of the Clones movie was the sound that made.
Yeah. That was
it sounded exactly like that.
And then Mando sends Gideon a transmission warning that is pretty much word for word what Gideon said to him, which was awesome. That's so like, yeah. I'm coming for you.
Liam Neeson.
I was just about to say that. Good luck. Yeah. I think
Moff Gideon shit himself there, to be fair.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he realized, oh, I've bitten off more than I can chew. I'm not Vader, even though I'm wearing a Vader costume. So, Speaking of Moff Gideon, as we get into the final episode, I do think, like, love Giancarlo Esposito, love everything that he's done, even Moff Gideon. But looking back at it now that we know that Moff Gideon's been defeated, although he's not gone, right? They didn't kill him.
He's alive.
But
he's back in series three.
I think it was definitely the legend of Moff Gideon that we were afraid of. We were respecting. We were, you know, he was this big, bad, awesome villain. But if you really think about it, he didn't do anything.
Well, he managed to get Grogu.
He directed the people. Right. He didn't. He's not the threat. He doesn't have the Force.
I mean, he did wield the Darksaber. I mean, he fought Mando pretty shit. Well.
Really?
Yeah, he's a good fighter, I guess. Well, he had to win it. I mean, he acquired it, obviously, through whatever ways that he...
Which I really thought we were going to get to know that story, but I guess that'll be for season three.
Yeah, we'll go into what we think series three in a minute. But
if it wasn't for extenuating circumstances, which we'll get to, I mean, he had the upper hand, because it got to a point where, like, there's no way they can't survive this, now with all the Death Troopers. I mean, it took Mando all he had to beat one of them things.
Yeah.
Right. That was a great establishing scene, right? That established the threat that those dark troopers are.
Yeah.
Which and also they got the blood, and they got how much more awesome when the
them getting the blood of,
happened.
Them getting the blood of Grogu as well, kind of, you know, it then makes you think, oh, no, what they're doing, it links to the cloning, and you think of Snoke and his story, and like you said, the clones of Palpatine. So,
and look, I know we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but early in the episode, I mean, one thing, obviously, they kind of got all the band back together, the group to go infiltrate it. Bo-Katan's back.
Yeah.
You got Fennec, you got Boba.
Oh, yeah.
And then they take over the Imperial ship, and they're doing their plan to come in, and you can see the way the TIE fighters release from the ship, I thought was pretty badass.
Was awesome. That. I thought you were about to glaze over that.
That is basically going to be in Disney World's plans for a new ride.
Right.
That's
launch
the TIE fighters. Yeah, there you go, Disney. I've done it for you. Just pay me $1 million.
That's right. And love that she came in and landed right in the thing to prevent more TIE fighters from coming out. Just the strategy that went in. I love
cool.
that,
yeah. right?
That they built this strategy. We're going to make it like we're under attack. She lands in there. You think Gideon suspected something at that? Right, he did. He had to suspect, but he didn't have to think long, because once they came out and started shooting, that's when he deployed the dark troopers.
Yeah, you could kind of see a look on his face as they were when they landed, you know, when they went in there and landed, right. he kind of knew something was going on.
That's not in the manual.
But then you kind of saw like girl power go on when they all came out of the shuttle, and then it felt better than how Marvel tried to do that, didn't they, in Endgame? And it felt very forced. I thought, like, this is a
with
forced
Marvel,
message. Yeah.
Yeah, with this didn't feel forced.
No, it felt natural.
Yeah.
Well,
I think, because didn't Marvel even do like #girl power when they did it or something? I thought they said something like "We female fighters unite" or something like that. Maybe not.
No, they didn't.
So, but yeah, but they go do that while Mando goes, and that's when Jason, you get your big fight with the dark trooper, the one.
When he was just punching his helmet, I'm like, oh shit.
Right.
That's how strong Veskar is.
And then the spear comes in handy. Good thing he got that spear.
Good thing.
Right.
Good thing he found it after his ship got destroyed.
That's right. The legend of the spear.
Right.
That's his thing now. So I guess he's not going to melt that down now. He needs it. Because it also saved his life in the Darksaber battle with Moff Gideon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that spear really is. I mean, this is like Wolverine level stuff, right?
That took me back to Obi-Wan and Darth Vader and New Hope kind of thing. Like just the surrounding of like an Imperial ship or Death Star. It took me back to that sort of setting. What was quite cool.
That's that part of that is what I was saying at the beginning. Like this whole series and this episode in particular feels.
But can we get to the good bit? Can we get to the good bit now?
So they're all trapped, and here comes an X-wing fighter. Which at that when the X-wing showed up, I don't know why. I figured. All right, so I figured it was Ahsoka or something because they had shown her earlier, bringing her back in to come in because they needed a Jedi. Yeah. They needed.
I didn't think it would be. I really didn't think they would have the balls to bring Luke into it, and I kind of didn't want them to bring Luke into it. But then it happened, and you saw the cloak and then the green saber, and you're just like, oh my god.
Yeah. At what point did you all realize it was Luke?
The cloak.
Yeah, when you see him from behind walking down with the cloak, because it's. Because at that point, it's like, I knew it wasn't going to be Ahsoka. The only other question, possibilities realistically could have been either Ezra or Mace Windu. And it just, to me, it wouldn't have had the impact that it had. So, like, looking back on it, the only person it actually could have been was Luke. Based on the time period, it's 5 years out. He is super, I mean, he is at his height of his powers as a Jedi. Of course, he's going to be the one that's going to hear the call and come do it.
I'm so glad because not that they're going to use Luke in the series a lot, but the fact that like with this whole CGI, they can really do anything. It doesn't matter that the actors are old or dead. If it's Leia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, like,
I think you saw Disney float with the idea in Rogue One. Let's see how that looks and fan reaction.
Yeah.
With how they did Grand Moff Tarkin and
Leia.
Princess Leia. And they're like, let's wait and see what the fan reaction was, just for little cameo snippets like we had there. Mm-hmm. And then it went down well. We said it was fine. Like, and then they thought, yeah, okay, we could do this. We could bring Luke into it somehow.
And yeah, it's okay. They still can't get the mouth quite right, but but otherwise,
you can cut like they did. Perfect. You cut away for most of when they're talking.
It's and talking,
you
know, yeah.
Words that the mouth might only do like that. He did kind of. Come off a little stoic, right? A little, like, just we had a lot of Botox, but I guess is that pretty much how Mark Hamill did Luke in the sequels, right?
I mean, I feel like maybe he would have had like a little bit of a smile or something, like just a few facial expressions like that. It was pretty just, kind of stoic, I guess.
But the fighting was phenomenal.
Unreal.
And because you knew the strength of those dark stormtroopers and the way that he just destroyed them like they were nothing, it was almost like he was a defender and they're all Andres Pete's. And he
it was everything you wanted the sequels to be. And I'm so disappointed in Disney. That they rushed these sequels. And I think hopefully they learned from their mistake and realize now films aren't the way forward of Star Wars. Leave it alone. Do your spin-off series because then you can go into more detail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Star Wars, I think that's a good point. The Star Wars universe is about the stories. It's not the big blockbuster. You know what I mean? It's the characters. It's the stories. It's the how things got to where they are.
Got the base. Long form.
Right. This is an 8-hour movie. Season 2, the Mandalorian now has made 2 movies and each movie's 8 hours long.
if or 4 hours long, if you think about it, the 30 minute episodes. So 2 4-hour movies that we got, which is perfect.
Exactly. And that's the way they need to go. And realize that. Explosive. And I'm so disappointed that they did those. Because imagine now, if after like the two seasons of Mandalorian, and you kind of know about Grogu gone away with Luke, and you think, oh, is he going to train another Jedi? Imagine them announcing now, oh, yeah, we're going to do 3 sequels on the Skywalker trilogy. You'd be absolutely ecstatic now, thinking, holy shit, look what they've done with the Mandalorian. But look what they've done with Rogue One.
They couldn't, if they'd have done the sequels as Luke, a young Luke and Grogu.
Set it in the timeline as it was set, but just do it better.
Yeah, it just had to be done. It was just so scattershot, changing from director to director. That didn't really help it. And
yeah,
you know, it was pretty, like I said, like Force Awakens was pretty much a remake of A New Hope. Yeah,
it was shit.
Yeah, but one thing about watching Luke kick ass. You saw like the look on Moff Gideon's face when he realized who it was. He's like, oh, fuck. So that speaks to, part of the aura, I guess, now that that Luke has.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like everybody knows, holy shit, this is the kid who blew up the Death Star basically twice
right.
and killed the Emperor and killed
his father,
Darth Vader. Right. Right. So there's in terms of the Empire, there's a lot of fear for Luke Skywalker.
Right. Well, and rightfully so, right? Which, now the scene that he comes in and he's just that final hallway that he's going through and he crushes the guy, that was so much. I love that I think it was intentional, my thought, that it was that parallel to Vader coming through the hallway at the end of Rogue One. And father, son, same pretty much scene.
And I was going to post it in our chat, but if you go on Twitter, they have people that have spliced side-by-side scenes of two. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see it because, they mirror each other pretty much almost identical. If you look at, I think it's Nerdist on Twitter, their website, they have it spliced together, and it looks really cool.
Well, I know what I'm doing.
I'm going to go watch. Sacking off.
Yep.
He's going to
get if I can find it, I'll post it in the chat.
Now with the way it ended and Luke taking Grogu away, where does that leave us with season 3?
Hey, can I go back 1 second before we get over there? One second. Are y'all kind of disappointed that Mando didn't give Grogu the silver ball when he left?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll see it in the future.
I was really hoping that ball would come into play. Is that what you were
hoping? I think it still might in the future.
It'll definitely come into play. He'll use that when he goes back. Whenever he goes back
to see him.
He'll have the little ball.
Maybe.
That's how.
Because I thought like right before that, when he got on the elevator and he turned around, like Mando would be holding up the ball and he would suck it to himself.
That's actually a neat thing. They could, though, if Mando needs to send a message to Grogu, he could send somebody with the ball, and that's how Grogu will know that he can trust him.
So it was pretty wild that he didn't even get a name from Luke at all.
No.
Well, Luke can talk to him.
I like the fact that R2 came into it as well. That was quite cool.
Yes. I was waiting for C-3PO, but I guess he's not with
Luke. No, it's the X-Wing, isn't it? Yeah. So you can only fit one droid. But imagine if Boba Fett was still there.
That's why he wasn't. See, I can see
right? So that's why he left.
In the writer's room, they were like, guys, we got to get rid of Boba Fett before Luke comes in.
Yeah, exactly. But do you know what I really want to see? I really wanted to see Luke and Ahsoka meet.
They might. You still could.
Did you they say still meet could. Or meet?
Meet.
That's a different movie, Ben.
Because, the backstory, see, being Anakin's apprentice, and, that could be... You could sit down and have a whole episode of those two just talking, and I'll be glued to it.
Yeah, good point. I would, too, yeah.
Like, that would be so cool. All
right, so then going back to predictions for season 3, so, Scott, you said it could be more about the whole Mandalore with Bo-Katan and the Darksaber.
James was saying that.
Or James said that, or Ben said that.
I mean, sorry.
James isn't even here.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, I can't get y'all. He's in there. All y'all Brits look alike.
So
fuck you, buddy.
That could be a route. Now, how do you as a fan feel if season three does not have Grogu in it?
Fine, because it's leading to a bigger picture.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Go away for a bit. Let Grogu
maybe some references. Then, maybe some references to it.
Sure.
I think you're going to see Mando go back just before Kylo Ren does his shit there. And maybe Mando goes back and saves Grogu.
I'm sorry, Kylo Ren?
Because he's gone to train with Luke now, hasn't he? And obviously, Luke started that Jedi Academy and then Kylo Ren kills them all.
Yeah, yeah, but that's like 20 years from now.
Yeah, that's a ways away in the future.
15 years from now. He could train Grogu in a year. I mean, shit, Yoda trained
Grogu's 50 years old. Is he gonna change much from?
Yeah, I don't know. See, yeah, where do you want Grogu when he comes back? Do you want him to be a baby?
We want him to be like middle-aged Groot,
right?
Middle-aged Groot,
like a teenager type. You know, right. A little more
attitude with the Force.
You got some acorns on you, kid.
You never let me have any fun. Oh my god,
where's the ball?
That's it. Storms off.
Where's the fucking ball?
Destroys a planet because he doesn't get away.
Yeah.
So I could see him coming back. That's a good way. Yeah, shelve him till you need him. But yeah, you could take this whole
story. Shelve him until Disney aren't making any much more money, and then go, oh, we need something to bring. We need on marketing. Yeah.
Right. Right. Guess who's back?
Just before Christmas.
All right, hang on. And then what do y'all think about the Legend of Boba Fett? What's going to happen there?
That was a cool scene. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I'm guessing cool. I'm guessing it's not going to be like a full, like 8-episode series.
I would think be like four.
Yeah, like four or five, six episodes, maybe. Just like a little. Because the one thing you have to worry about with all the stuff they got announced, like, is Filoni going to get spread too thin? Because he's the one that's making this work. Now he's going to be involved with The Mandalorian, with Boba Fett, with the Ahsoka series.
Yeah.
Probably still with a little bit of the Bad Batch. Like, is it too much?
Yeah, that'll be.
I mean, that's really the only thing we got to worry about. And, you know, with so many things announced, not everything's going to hit. Some stuff's going to be like, meh. But you've got to make sure that you keep the Mandalorian quality.
Yeah. Since he kind of took over, it looks like he's taken over maybe, you know,
script writing.
No, fuck.
I mean, the good news, I think they said all the scripts for season 3 for Mandalorian have already been written.
Yeah, they started filming, haven't they already?
No, I think they've started production on Boba Fett. They're in pre-production on Mando. Mm. So that's
and they're also already. They're also in pre-production of Kenobi.
Okay,
but
I was saying he's taking over Jabba the Hutt's kind of lair, so it could be more of
gangster
doing
related.
Bounty hunter stuff. Right. Yeah, like gangster bounty hunter stuff.
Which hey, that'll work for me. I'm good.
Yeah, you might see a bit of the. Crimson Dawn come into that potentially.
Could be like the Goodfellas, but in Star Wars.
Okay, but Maul's dead.
Good point.
Is he?
Dies in Rebels. You need to watch Rebels.
Again, if y'all would watch it, y'all would know what the hell we're talking about. All right. I mean, you call yourself Star Wars fans.
You've got Disney Plus. There's no excuse.
Right.
I do have Disney Plus. I will get there. I've got other things.
Dude, I'm watching it again for the second time, and I'm absolutely in love with it again. It's just so.
So what order do you need to watch? Like, I know you sent that thing with
Clone Wars, then Rebels.
Yeah, what's Clone Wars, then Rebels?
Clone Wars takes place between Attack of the Clones and up to Revenge of the Sith, and then Rebels takes place like a couple of years before A New Hope.
All right, so Clone Wars, then Rebels.
Yeah. There's only five. Are
you about to watch all of it, Scott?
Well, here's the thing. You can skip the Jar Jar episodes of Clone Wars. You don't need to watch those because those do exist and they're bad.
But they're 20 minute episodes. They're nothing.
Right. I mean, there's they're very short. I mean, a lot of it's, you know, the clones against whatever the separatists.
How many seasons is it?
Seven.
Oh fuck. Seven in Clone Wars.
Seven in Clone Wars. Only four in Rebels.
How many episodes per season?
It varies. the final Clone Wars season was only 12, and they're half hour shows. So.
Yeah.
Or not even.
I've heard Clone Wars is not necessary though, so why not?
No. It definitely start. There's a Mandalore arc in season 2.
Yeah,
you could probably start there and just go forward because a lot of season 1 and 2 is just like separatist and Republic battles, Jedi battles. I mean, you do get to see a little bit.
I would watch the on the Disney Plus. Look at the Ahsoka Essential episodes. Watch those.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm just
because there's a lot of Mandalorian on there, and then because the Ahsoka Essential episodes will then start Rebels, and I'd say you need to watch all the Rebels.
Yeah, at least most of. I mean, Rebels does have some standalone, but man, some of the good ones, like the Twilight of the Apprentice and Rebels, was just. Whew.
Yeah, that's good. There's some real. I just rewatched the episode where you saw Ahsoka for the first time use sabers against the two Inquisitors, and that was just
amazing. Bangers. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I know we're getting off the topic.
Bangers and mash.
That's what I've got for dinner tonight. Would you believe it? That's what I got for dinner tonight. Series. Have you seen the thing about the Kenobi series? The interview with Deborah Chow and Ewan McGregor. I told you about this, Jason, didn't I? When we did the Pelicans podcast.
Yeah.
So basically, there's an interview with those two, and they're basically saying what they, because Hayden Christensen come back as Vader / Anakin. And we all know he's a terrible actor. And
his dialogue didn't do him any favors.
Yeah. But they've asked, like, they've kind of hinted what's going to happen, really, with these characters. And basically, they kind of said, you're going to see Vader and Obi-Wan lock lightsabers again. What would be cool. Can't wait for that. And then they've also said you're going to see, they weren't happy with how Revenge of the Sith kind of skipped over Order 66 quite quickly in the Purge of the Jedi Temple. So they said you're going to see a lot of flashbacks of Anakin going around the Jedi Temple, killing younglings and other Jedi that are present there. I think will be cool. So that's a series I'm most excited for.
So I did just watch the side-by-side of Vader and Luke walking down the hallway. And I'm going to tell you, Vader's movements are so effortless, whereas Luke was more agile. He was, and granted the age might be
well, if you think about it too, Luke as a Jedi is more controlled, so or supposed to be more under control.
Vader's just hate.
Yeah,
right. No, but Vader's was just like
Vader's is more almost
it gives the feeling that Vader still had more at the time that Vader did it. He had more power than the time that Luke is doing it, because he was just like, I'm not even trying. I'm, you know, just the little one hand.
It looks very relaxed.
Yeah, relaxed. Whereas Luke is like, it was more exciting. And
it could be all the. I think too, when he moves, like the burns probably hurt as he moves.
Well, it could be that, as well as Vader. You know, he's also restricted from all the stuff.
The armor. So, yeah, I put the GIF on the chat, so y'all go look at it.
Yeah, I've just seen that. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. I just watched it like 100 times.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that is our Mandalorian special episode that everybody's been waiting for. Fantastic series opening up the whole universe of Star Wars on Disney Plus. We can't wait for more content to come out there. And then of course there's also the all the Marvel stuff, so maybe we will do some little side episodes of the Dome Patrol for all of the Disney Plus activity. I know there's a bunch of like MCU fan podcasts out there that I listen to some of those, and they'll probably be better at this stuff than us, but you know what, there's nothing wrong with sitting around having a few cups of tea and discussing your favorite Disney Plus content.
I hate tea. You know that.
We know. We did. We actually talked about it on the podcast last night. Go listen to it.
That's right.
Jeff left it in.
All right. I'm not going to call for final thoughts because this isn't that kind of show. But I will say it's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. And you can follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
There you come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Baby Yoda donkeys.
Good night, Star Wars Nation.
We all fought in that epic war, and it wasn't long at all before little Hotshot flew his plane and saved the day. And in the end, some Gungans died, some ships blew up and some pilots fried, a lot of folks were croaking. The battle droids were broken, and the Jedi I admire most met up with Darth Maul, and now he's toast. Well, I'm still here and he's a ghost. I guess I'll train this boy. And I was singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. We were singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.